Elizabeth Van Loo was overjoyed by the 100-gun salute she heard Union troops fire off to celebrate Lee's surrender at Appomattox Courthouse. Her neighbors did not feel the same, the diehards among them grumbling that Lee would never have capitulated if Davis had been present to stiffen his spine. As it was, nearly 2 months passed before all the remaining rebel forces in the South finally laid down their arms. In Richmond, Marcina Patrick was named Provost Marshal General of the Department of Virginia and given the job of managing its capital. His superiors considered his purity of character, familiarity with Virginia culture, and his business expertise ideal qualifications for running the city. Mary Bowser, Van Loo's loyal servant, did not share that warm feeling about the provost marshal. She was appalled when Patrick humiliated a black man who had defended his wife from an attack by a Union soldier. Patrick wanted the husband executed. Washingtonians awoke April 10th to the news in their papers that Lee had surrendered and a ground-shaking 500-gun salute hailing victory at last. Soon, the streets were shockingly muddy, but were all alive with people singing and cheering, carrying flags and saluting everybody, said journalist Noah Brooks. The next night, an upstairs window was opened, and Lincoln leaned out to address an immense throng with bands and banners that had poured into the semicircular avenue in front of the White House. "We met this evening not in sorrow, but in gladness of heart," he began in a speech longer than anyone anticipated, which outlined his thoughts for Reconstruction. In the boisterous crowd below him stood John Wilkes Booth, a narcissistic attention grabber who had developed into a rabid Southern sympathizer. "That is the last speech he will ever make," the actor said under his breath to a companion. Booth had become a frequent caller at Mary Surratt's boarding house on 8th Street, just 9 blocks from Lafayette Baker's headquarters. The Maryland widow, who gave Baker's men a frosty reception at her Surrattsville Tavern in 1862, had moved to Washington in 1864. Other rough-edged men in the makeshift gang Booth had assembled were regular boarders at the house, which had become a rendezvous for Confederate spies, smugglers, and couriers. Baker bragged there was no hostile agent in Washington that he or his men didn't know about, but that was clearly not the case, at least not with John Wilkes Booth and the conspirators meeting under Baker's nose at the Surratt House. Grant worried about Lincoln's personal safety after Lee's surrender, but Baker did not have any particular concern. He had returned to Washington on April 9th, checking into the Willard and toasting Lee's surrender with his detectives the next day. Wearing his gaudy colonel's uniform, he also made the rounds at the War Department, lobbying for his promotion to brigadier general. The morning of April 13th, Baker took the train to New York and checked back in to the Astor House. There were loose ends to tie up in his recruiting investigation, although its importance now was practically nil.